Locally sourced news and info to drive you home.
Local news is like the most important stuff to me.
Steph Lucas on KID News Radio 106.3 and 92.1.
Welcome back to the Steph Lucas Show. Hope you enjoyed your 16 cents you saved on your barbecue, according to the White House tweet on Thursday or Friday. Farm Bureau is reporting that you saved 16 cents on average on your barbecue of last year, and that was something to celebrate, according to the White House, as people are filling up their cars with $5 a gallon gas. Fun Babylon Bee article said you could actually try mustard, since according to the Biden administration, mustard is now cheaper than gasoline. See how it works out for your car. Anyway, moving on. Like I said, this is the Research Kids, you and I, researching together on organizations in Idaho that are, well, okay, lobbyist organizations, for lack of a better word. They also go by legislative advisory groups, which is the same thing. But like a buddy of mine who is a lobbyist back in Washington, D.C., says, don't call me a lobbyist. So, legislative advisory organization. It's what we're going with today. Anyway, a couple weeks ago, we interviewed Idaho Freedom Foundation. And my deal is why does the Idaho Freedom Foundation always, everyone's heard of them, right? They've been around since like 2012. Well, here's one you may not have heard of. A legislative advisory or lobbyist organization called the Idaho Association of Commerce and Industry. And if you have heard of them, you know, bear with me, okay? But the Idaho Association of Commerce and Industry, we are interviewing them today. I sat down with Alex LeBeau. He is the president of the Idaho Association of Commerce and Industry, or IACI, because everybody has to have an acronym these days, right? So we were talking about the history of IACI, what they do. They've actually been around since 1974, when Idaho was really a smaller state, much smaller population then. What's the story with IACI, Alex, and how they got started?
Comparatively, we're still kind of a small state, but nevertheless, back then, they made a decision to combine what would be referred to as the Associated Industries of Idaho, which was all the manufacturers, and the State Chamber of Commerce at the time, and the food manufacturers, and they all combined their organizations into what became the Idaho Association of Commerce and Industry. So, in effect, becoming the State Chamber of Commerce, as well as the representation of industry throughout the state, and food manufacturing, particularly as heavy as it is throughout southern Idaho.
I see. Is IACI still associated with the Chamber of Commerce, or is that separate now?
Yes, we're affiliated with the United States Chamber of Commerce, as well as we have reciprocal memberships with virtually every major metropolitan chamber in Idaho. Plus, we're also affiliated with the National Association of Manufacturers and the Council of State Chambers and a couple of other organizations on a national scale, yes.
Okay.
We're in effect the state representative of all of that.
Okay, I see. So who were some of IACI's first clients way back in 1974?
Some of the clients that are still with us today, you know, everybody from Simplot to Idaho Power to Union Pacific Corporation you know, companies like that that have evolved, you know, with several names that, you know, that are still around, including ones that are here now, particularly in southern Idaho, like Lamb Weston, Basic American Foods, and a number of organizations like that.
So what does it take to get a membership to IACI? How does one become involved?
Well, first you have to be a private industry or a private business association. So you can be an association like the Bankers Association or the Realtors Association or the Retailers Association. They're members of this organization as well. But if you're a general business person, you can choose to join the organization. We don't allow governments belong to our organization. There are some chambers of commerce that do allow that. We're not one of them. Then it's just based off of a sliding scale of what the payroll is for your corporation globally, and that's how we assign it.
Okay.
And then organizations can be a member of ours.
Okay. So Just as far as the history of Iaki, were you guys, whose idea was it? Was it just people reaching out from the United States Chamber of Commerce saying, hey, this should be started?
Oh, gosh. You know, in virtually every state and every, you know, having been in the association world for a long time, there's always been a value and a need for industries, whether they're like-minded industries such mm-hmm. as the hospital association or divergent industries like the one that we represent, to get together to primarily represent their views on issues on a statewide basis as mm-hmm. well as a national basis, or even sometimes on a localized basis about things that are important to employers around the state. And
right.
So, you know, that's a variety of things, including tax policy, a stable regulatory environment, mm-hmm. You know, certainly a workforce issue and education are always a top priority. Because industries are made up of, you know, basically two things, equipment and people. And mm-hmm. One doesn't work very well without the other. So,
right.
you know, there are a lot of public policy issues that are very important to employers across the board, mm-hmm. Regardless of what industry they're in. And that's where we end up finding ourselves a lot,
mm-hmm.
is in those spaces representing the broad scope of the interests that they have.
Gotcha. Okay. The legislature is involved, or IACI advocates for issues that would affect businesses, to the Idaho legislature, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
We're primarily focused in on state issues.
Mm-hmm.
We spend a lot of time in the regulatory environment working
yeah.
with various departments, you know, whether it's Department of Insurance or Department mm-hmm. of Environmental Quality or the State Tax Commission or any number of regulatory industries, because they're the ones that are doing a lot of the day-to-day stuff,
mm-hmm.
Interacting with our members. And so we spend a lot of time working with them on crafting policy from a rule standpoint. So the executive
right.
branch is obviously hugely important to us, but
mm-hmm.
certainly the legislative arena is as well, because they're the ones that set the statutes that are the basis for the regulatory environment.
Yeah.
So
having
representation up at the Capitol to ensure that the legislators know what the employers are saying about
mm-hmm.
Idaho and the laws that we have is pretty important.
Okay. So on my show, I've been looking at all the organizations in Idaho that have some kind of a report card for Idaho lawmakers. So I've been talking to a couple, and now I'm talking to you guys, as you have a rating system for Idaho lawmakers. How does that work?
Ours is pretty simple. I mean,
mm-hmm.
the one thing that I'll be very honest that I never liked about rating systems is
mm-hmm.
they're easy to game. You know, when you start weighting bills that are you know, some bills are more important to others, and you start putting weights on them,
mm-hmm.
that becomes a pretty disjointed system. And it's
mm-hmm.
just one, you know, these types of systems that people use are just, at least for us, is just one bit of information that we have about a legislator's performance. You know, we look at a number of things.
Mm-hmm.
Ours, basically, what we do is we take the top issues that we communicated with the legislature directly about, or not necessarily issues where we were part of a coalition. Sometimes, depending
mm-hmm.
on where we were in that coalition, if we're a leader of that coalition, or if we're just, you know, along as a Me Too,
right.
we don't necessarily count those, but we count all of those that are big issues to us. We don't wait hours. We just keep it straight up. Did
uh-huh.
you vote yes or did you vote no? And you know, it's a straight up percentage at that point.
So kind of like saying this is a bill we would like to see pass. Did they vote yes or did
a
they
bill
vote?
That we would not like to see pass?
I see,
you know,
yeah,
one or the
yeah.
other.
yeah.
And so yes, basically that's how it works for us. It's either
okay.
You were a yes or you were a no. Part of the problems with these types of things, though,
mm-hmm.
is, again, it only is a reflection of floor votes.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not necessarily a reflection of the performance of the legislator in committees, which is more difficult to ascertain unless you're up there every day
gotcha.
Having conversations with these folks. And, you know, the other thing that we're not an organization that is demanding 100% allegiance. That's just not realistic. Everybody, mm-hmm. you know, there's a reason that we elect a legislature to represent their opinions. But, you know, certainly if there's a legislator that is not voting with us very often, we pay very close attention to that.
Okay. So if a legislator isn't voting with you guys very often, what does that say? Does that mean that they are...
It means they're not very friendly to the business interests of the state of Idaho, and they're not very friendly to employers. And that's concerning, and it should be concerning to most employers out there. So, you know, there's a lot of folks that claim they represent business and industry. There's mm-hmm. not very many that have exclusively business and industry sitting around their table like we do. So, you know, the voices that come from our membership, and again, mm-hmm. you know, we're merely the messenger of that of those messages. You know, it's pretty clear we're representing employers across the board, both large and small. And,
okay.
and you know, if a legislator isn't performing, well, they're probably not very business friendly.
I see. So as far as the bills are rated, is there there's what I'm getting from you is there's really not so much of a criteria IACI has consistently. Like, here's our mission statement. You just kind
of... We have a mission statement that's sure. in the best interest of employers, but, you mm-hmm. know, if we're not a... There's a lot of these organizations that are coming up now that, you know, they're very ideological.
Mm-hmm.
Ideological attitudes are really poor for crafting policy because there's a lot of complicated things that need to be figured in, and I think that people make a mistake if they, you know, are expecting 100% allegiance, or if they're, you know, not willing to get in and compromise and try to figure out how to craft legislation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's an indication that they're obviously not very sophisticated at what it is that they're doing. But I think that you have to look again. It's just one element of an overall legislator's performance. I mean, there are some legislators that on the floor may not be particularly highly rated.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, they might be a really good go-to legislator on a specific type of an issue. They might mm-hmm. be a subject matter expert in employment law or healthcare law or something along those lines
sure.
that, you know, makes them very valuable to employers.
Okay.
And, you know, we just try to make sure that people understand that, you know, when employers are talking, people should listen because
right.
they're
yeah.
the backbone of the state.
Well, absolutely. And just, well, I'll ask you about that in just a minute. I just wanted to kind of get to how the bills are looked at. So there's not really a criteria like to weight things. Do you guys just look at bills individually and say,
yeah.
hey,
I mean,
this would
waiting,
be good for our clients, this would not, or this would be good for our members,
right.
this would not
look
be
at
good
a bill,
for our members?
Right. We look at a bill holistically as like, okay, what's the overall objective of the piece of legislation?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not these weighting criteria in voting records is basically lying through statistics. So, you know, we try to play it pretty straight up.
We are in the middle of my interview with the president of Idaho Association of Commerce and Industry, Alex LeBeau. We are talking about how IACI scores certain bills because a lot of lobbyist organizations, great legislators. We'll talk about that more with Alex LeBeau coming up on the Steph Lucas Show.
As the day wraps up, she's just getting revved up. Steph Lucas on KID News Radio 106.3 and 92.1.
Welcome back to the Steph Lucas Show. We are talking with organizations that influence the legislature, known as lobbyists or legislative advisory committees, all across Idaho. Anything, if they have anything to do with the Idaho legislature, if they keep tabs on legislators and how they vote, and on senators, of course, lawmakers, let's put it that way. We want to know about it. So we've interviewed the Idaho Freedom Foundation. Now we're talking about IACI, the Idaho Association of Commerce and Industry. I have a lot more questions about how IACI scores legislators. Let's continue on with the interview with Alex LeBeau of IACI. I've had some legislators on my show saying if somebody has 100% with any organization, that means they're just carrying water for that organization. What if somebody has 100% with you?
Gosh, that's a great year for us and them, we think. But, you know, here's the thing. We don't expect, like I said before, we don't expect 100% allegiance. That's not, you know, I think that people put too much into that. If you know, they happen to agree with us on the issues of that year, that's great. But, I'll be honest, in my 30 years of doing this, for both the realtors and for this industry group, I don't know. I mean, there are legislators that are maybe 100% on their floor votes.
Okay.
This year or maybe this year, but over the course of their career, they're not 100%er. But you know, certainly there are some that understand the needs of industry and are willing to listen to the needs of industry.
But if their scores, even though you don't like to place a whole lot of attention on a score, if their scores are consistently low, you're still going to look at that legislator pretty closely.
Yeah, we have to talk to everybody. But if their scores are consistently low, they obviously have a problem with industry, and therefore, we're going to be concerned about them being around. You know, okay. It's just not. It's something that's.
So, if something like that happens, is there a certain amount of pressure you would put on a legislator? How would you remedy that if they're voting consistently?
You know, the way we put on the way we put pressure on a legislator is we go and we tell them our issue, remind them that this is a group and this is why we represent this and go from there. You know, the pressure that I would really like to have is just have a legislator tell me how they feel about it, yes or no, and then I can move on. I just want a legislator to be honest with me. I don't want him to play hide the ball.
Okay.
There's 105 of them for a reason. There's a lot of different attitudes out there. There's a lot of different thoughts about what things are. The thing that causes me concern sometimes is if a legislator tries to tell us what we need and thinks that what they're doing is going to help us more than what we're telling them that we want. That's kind of a problematic. But they need to hear from us, and if they don't agree with us, that's fine. But if they don't agree with us over the long haul, they're probably not getting a lot of support.
Right. I'm just trying to find the difference between these report cards. I find this kind of fascinating. So is the scorecard more for IACI's use than, say, the public's use? What do you think?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, ours is more for our use than anything else. We just kind of keep track of a legislator's performance over time and how they voted on very specific bills that were important to us. And we take, we take that into account and report that back to our members so that they understand that, sometimes what a legislator may say back in the district isn't necessarily reflective of their performance in the Idaho legislature. So we use it more internally that way.
Mm-hmm.
That we haven't really been a hugely public-facing organization. We're happy to talk.
That's what's interesting to me is there's other legislative groups out there, or legislative advocacy groups, or lobbyists, if you will, that get a lot more attention than IACI. Most people haven't even heard of it, but you guys have been around since 1974.
We've been pretty effective.
Mm-hmm. But just a lot of people, yeah. So do you think it's more of an advantage?
Our objective isn't to get headlines. Our objective is to get good, sound public policy for employers.
Okay. I see. So when one is a member of IACI, do they make donations? Does IACI donate money? How does that work?
To a legislator?
Yeah.
Okay, no, we do have a PAC, but we don't contribute to legislators directly.
I see.
We do independent expenditures and have been doing it for a long time.
Right.
So
okay, so
we
you
were
guys
doing that before it was cool.
So you guys have a PAC that can donate money, but IACI itself does not donate money. Okay, what's the name of the PAC?
It's the Idaho Prosperity Fund.
Idaho Prosperity Fund. Okay, I gotcha. All right.
Now we do contribute in the executive branch races and have since the beginning of the PAC, but that's as far as we have ever taken it as far as giving a direct contribution. The point being, the reason we don't do that is all of our members give direct contributions. It would be pointless for us to collect their dollars and then duplicate what it is that they want. And sometimes our members are on opposite sides of things, and so we don't necessarily want to get engaged in that.
Sure.
So what we do is the dollars that we have in that fund are used for independent expenditures in races where there is a united view about the direction that we need to go with a particular candidate.
Okay. And IACI represents a lot of large businesses. How do you feel about...
I would say we represent approximately half of the employed population in the state of Idaho.
Okay. How does IACI feel about small businesses?
Well, again, we represent about half the employed population in the state. Small businesses got the same issue as big business. It really is no different. They still have tax problems. They still have compliance problems. They have environmental issues they have to deal with, probably not on the same scale, obviously.
Yeah.
And they, you know, the biggest issues that they have are the same issues that employers on the large scale have, and that's workforce. And, you know, finding good quality employees, you know, there's really no, I've never seen a division between big interests and small interests around my table. Because, you know, outside of, the only time I ever hear that is out in when politicians are talking. You know, they want to be for small business because somehow if it's big, it's bad. But, you know, the reality is a lot of the smaller industries are the ones that are providing services to the larger industries. And the larger industries were all small at one time, too. So it's, you know,
symbiotic,
business is business.
Right.
It doesn't really matter how many people you employ. And you know, whether you employ five, you're just as valuable as if you employ 5,000 in our view.
Okay. Speaking of that, how do you feel? And you've been answering a lot of tough questions. I appreciate it. How do you feel about the current labor shortage in Idaho? It's affecting a lot of things. What do you think?
Yeah, it is. It's something that we were concerned about prior to the pandemic. Obviously, we were looking at a number of ways of alleviating that. You know, probably one of the most important things that we need to focus in on is the availability of childcare. We're not gonna recruit a bunch of people from out of state to come into the state to take some of these jobs. And so, you know, when you're at 3% unemployment, you're virtually almost full employment.
Sure.
And it's a function of those that are not currently in the regular workforce. We have to figure out how to get them in the workforce. And probably one of the bigger issues that we've been focused in on and with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is on the issue of childcare. And you know, we released a study right before the pandemic that indicated that Idaho was losing approximately $500 million a year in worker productivity because of the lack of available childcare across the state. And that's going to be a big solution for a lot of employers is building collaboratives where people can take their children for early childhood education opportunities, but that's a big deal to us. The second thing is the continued expansion of a qualified workforce through our CTE programs in our universities and particularly through K-12. They're doing a good job. We have a lot of work to do. And I think everybody realizes that. It's just a function of employers talking about what they need. And that's where we've been working with a couple of programs that we instituted on the talent pipeline management and other things. The success, frankly, we're kind of a victim of our own success. Idaho has a stable regulatory environment. It has a stable taxation environment. It has a stable environment in general, and, you know, we'll fight tooth and nail to keep things stable. Populism doesn't work particularly well for us, but we like things stable because that's how profits are made, and that's how business is successful in the state of Idaho.
All right, one more question.
You bet.
Regulatory issues. Governor Brad Little has often touted Idaho as the least regulated state in the union, and I know with each bill there's a lot of subtle nuances with regulatory issues, but yeah. As a whole, as far as, and we're talking ideology here, but it does seem that the less regulations there are, and of course we all like clean air, clean water. I'm not talking about cutting down entire forests and just leaving them, leaving a bunch of stumps. But as far as regulations go, is IACI, ideologically, how do they feel about regulations? Less regulations, better? Where do you guys stand on less or more regulations? How's it working out in Idaho?
Again, it goes back to the principle of a level playing field and a stable playing field.
Mm-hmm.
The problems that we see so many times in many other states when it comes to a regulatory environment is you just don't know what you're going to get.
Okay.
So you could have an agency come in and suddenly start to lay down a bunch of mandates on you on a whole bunch of different things, and there's no way to comply with it. You don't even know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that the state of Idaho has been bringing for a couple of decades now is predictability. And, industry can and employers can deal with a lot of issues that are out there. And like you said, there are very important things that we all need to do our part on, which
sure.
is ensuring that we have clean air and clean water and, roads that are
drivable,
sure. and not dangerous. And,
right.
And, little things that make a difference for people's safety, and that's important for everyone. But ensuring that you have a stable and predictable regulatory environment is something that we will always advocate for.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that it shouldn't change. There are, as more data comes forward and more information comes forward, certainly there are things that we should improve upon, because I think there's always an opportunity to do that.
Okay.
So we're not necessarily afraid of regulation. What we're afraid of is, most importantly, is unpredictability.
Okay. So when you're talking predictability and roads, are you guys sometimes for tax increases if it benefits
Absolutely.
Roads
yeah.
or things
to be ideological, I think is foolish, because, the reality is that to have a stable, functional society, you have to have government that works, and, things cost money. Education
sure.
costs money.
Sure.
Roads cost money. Clean air costs money.
Mm-hmm.
And those things are important, and we're willing to do our part to be part of that, as long as it's stable,
okay,
predictable,
okay,
and
no,
in
I
a
see
way
what you're
that
saying.
That works for us,
right? Okay, well, I appreciate that. Thanks so much for giving me the compare and contrast. I've got some more organizations to call, but thanks so much for spending so much time with me today. I really appreciate it.
And no problem. Feel free to call anytime.
Thanks, Alex.
All right. Thank you.
That is my interview with Alex LeBeau of the Idaho Association of Commerce and Industry. On their website, they say that they are the most effective business lobby in Idaho since 1974. Second half of that interview, I told you ideology last hour. I told you it was going to be very important this hour. He brings up ideology quite a bit during that interview. He says ideology is foolish because things cost money, but I would make the argument that we are a country founded on ideology. And certainly we don't want to throw ideology and the principles we were founded on out the window. He also said he thinks that people put too much into scores, but he said if these scores are consistently low, he says if legislator, senator scores are consistently low with IACI, that lawmaker obviously has a problem with industry and they take a closer look, and they certainly wouldn't get a lot of support from IACI if they have a low score record with IACI over a period of time. IACI does have a political action committee to donate to candidates. And remember, they did say they take a look at legislators because of the scores. He's saying there they use it more of a personal thing with IACI. And they won't get a lot of support from IACI if they have low scores with IACI's scoring system over time. And they don't particularly have a whole lot of set rules. They look at it on a bill-by-bill basis. So thanks so much to Alex LeBeau for interviewing on the Steph Lucas Show. We've got sports and entertainment coming up.